This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, my colleague and friend, here to comment on Venezuela in the news. Right now, the news from the Pentagon. Trump ties Venezuela, Colombia to drug trade, raising military concerns, writes Reuters. Gerald Ford Carrier Group deployed to Latin America, escalating military presence, writes Reuters. And Pentagon's use of non-disclosure agreements for Latin American officers not previously reported is a striking fact. The opposition, I talked to a member of the opposition in exile in Europe after being jailed for a year, tells me that they're very much looking forward to the U.S. helping the people of Venezuela, 7 to 9 million of whom have fled to the U.S. and their neighboring countries because of the brutality of the Maduro regime. There's no food security, there's no medical security, there's no education worth competing for, and the people are in despair. Everybody who could flee has already flown. So what is to be done? There, Gregory, is the mix, a very large flotilla between Puerto Rico and the Venezuela coast, routinely destroying alleged drug boats running out of the Venezuela coast and also into the Pacific, from Colombia. Colombia is part of this mix because Gustavo Petro, the president of Colombia, is said to be a well-known, chemically dependent president who now and then evidences the disability of irrationality. At the same time, the president is now linking Gustavo Petro to Nicolas Maduro as part of the Cartels of the Sun. That is a drug narco-terrorism gang. All of this has twists and turns, but we're on the eve of a very large military force. Good heavens, there's a carrier group headed in. It was already a flotilla of four Arleigh Burkes and a Marine Expeditionary Unit, and members of F-35s based at Puerto Rico. So there's enough here to take a continent, let alone Caracas, which is hardly well defended. So where is this going, Gregory? A show of force in order for the political actors to make a deal? Or do you imagine at this point that it's credible for the United States to break something in Caracas?
Well, it's a very interesting topic because right now, President Maduro, or shall we say nominally President Maduro, has no international support whatsoever. The People's Republic of China can't provide support. Russia can't provide support. Iran can't provide support. And of course, Cuba can't provide support. So it is left alone and is basically showing defiance to the United States on the basis that it believes that President Trump will not actually initiate a war against Venezuela. Yes, they believe he will attack Venezuelan targets, particularly at sea in international waters when they're carrying drugs up to the United States. But he doesn't believe that the U.S. will put troops ashore in Venezuela. That may not be a good bet, because at some point, President Trump is going to have to show that he has followed through. And he's been very, very fortunate in recent times to achieve a lot of agreements with foreign countries simply based on the strength of his bluster, his proven attempts or proven methods of using forceful language, forceful economics, and deploying the military. The next stage will be whether he goes to war against Venezuela's Maduro government. I think it will happen. Right now, as you know, he put one of the four Arleigh Burkes destroyers in the region into Trinidad and Tobago just recently, and that's literally separated from Venezuela only by a 7 mile wide bay, really. So that's really on Venezuela's border. The Venezuelans claim that this was a direct provocation and an initiation of conflict. Venezuela cut off its oil and gas agreement with Trinidad and Tobago, and the Trinidadian leader has not backed down. He is basically saying we don't need Venezuela to survive. Then the Venezuelans claimed that they had rounded up a CIA-backed group, which is, they haven't provided any evidence of this at all, but they said that this group was going to attack the USS Gravely in Trinidad and make it look as though it was a Venezuelan attack and therefore initiate a war. So it looks as though the Venezuelans are really trying to call President Trump's bluff on this, saying that, you know, it's really the U.S. trying to start the war and that there's, you know, that Venezuela is blameless. So it's getting to the stage where with the deployment of the USS Gerald Ford carrier battle group, that's absolutely a major commitment. And literally with one command, the entire Venezuelan Air Force could be shot down, within minutes or hours. So it's interesting to see where Maduro could go from there. The question is, can Maduro force President Trump to lose face on this, or can the U.S., by humiliating Maduro, cause sufficient unrest in Venezuela for the opposition to surge in and take control of the government? What appears to be the case is that the Venezuelan military still seems to remain committed to Maduro.
Let me make the case that more than Caracas would break with a military action, no matter how long it takes. Bogota, I mentioned Gustavo Petro. The legislature there is completely alienated from him. He has another year to go, but he's made the cocaine production in the region as high as it ever was in the 20th century. He's permitted it to happen. I'm told the Colombian military is in despair and has very good relations mill-to-mill with the U.S., and Colombia has been a strong ally for decades, not now. Brazil, the president of Brazil, Lula da Silva, who's a much compromised man, was released from a corruption jail by a man named D. Moraes, who is the lead persecutor of Bolsonaro, a member of the Supreme Court. However, what we have is Lula da Silva going all the way to Asia to meet with Trump, President Trump, and look to negotiate the trade tariffs that Mr. Trump has said he's going to impose or has imposed on Brazil because of their persecution of the previous president, Bolsonaro. In addition, we have the rest of the continent seeing which way the wind blows, Gregory. A recent first-round result in Chile surprising everybody with two candidates right of center polling better than the candidate left of center who was supposed to be walking in because of the dominance of the left, and that's in Santiago. In Bolivia, already the election is over and a right-of-center president is in place. There's reason Noboa was at Mar-a-Lago the night before he was elected in Ecuador. And Claudia Sheinbaum, who leads a very strong economy in Mexico because it's related to the U.S., is no lefty to read her compromises about the border security and about drug smuggling and about her willingness to negotiate about the USMCA. All of this adds up to what was a pink tide is now ebbed, and what's replacing it is a lurch towards capitalism and libertarianism, and therein lies the biggest prize of all. Javier Milei, surprising everyone, won an overwhelming endorsement from his midterm election in the previous days and now dominates the legislature and can go through with his admittedly risky remedies to a broken culture and a broken economy for many decades in Argentina. That was directly an outcome of the President Trump and Scott Bessent backing up the peso with a swap line out of the Treasury. Wonderful. All going in one direction. So when it comes to Caracas's reform, the whole continent is going to tremble. And things happen when whole continents tremble. You see this as a good thing or high risk, Gregory?
Well, I'm not in the good or bad business, but I do see that it is moving very much to a more conservative market economy approach. And that's starting to show that countries like Venezuela and the present Colombian president are being frozen out. Everywhere from Bolivia to Brazil are moving into a more market-oriented conservative approach to government. The midterm elections for the Congress in Argentina were profoundly in favor of Milei against all of the earlier polling. And this reinforces not just Milei himself, but the United States position. The United States gambled on Milei, backing him in his economic plan, potentially costing the U.S. Treasury enormous amounts, but it paid off and the U.S.'s investment there has been secured. So everywhere you go, it's looking conservative. Lula da Silva in Brazil, by going to the ASEAN summit to meet with President Trump, it shows that he's a very, very different Lula than the one we knew a few years ago. He is running scared. He knows that China has not come to his aid and, frankly, cannot come to his aid. And that was the biggest, if you like, inspiration in building this coalition of states which were going to disavow the use of the dollar, U.S. dollar. So Lula's coming back literally cap in hand to the United States, very significant, and that's the biggest state in South America. So it's important that Brazil spearheads this charge. And right now, as we said, Maduro is looking isolated along with the Colombian president. So the question is, what will the U.S. do to finish off Maduro, possibly support the Colombian elected Congress and the military in perhaps retiring the president from Colombia before the end of his term?
There is Colin Powell's warning, if you break it, you own it. If there is a decision to use the military in Caracas, we own that economy. And that means narco-terrorism becomes the villain. Are we ready for that scale of guerrilla warfare?
I don't think the United States could cope with that level of guerrilla warfare because it is it's profound anarchy. You're not fighting against a conventional structured military with conventional national or strategic goals. You're fighting against criminals who will have no rules of warfare. So it would be very, very difficult. I think the United States has taken the initiative in this, first by closing the southern borders to the U.S., and secondly by destroying large volumes of the narcotic shipments out of Venezuela and out of other South American countries. And that is having an impact, I think, on the cartels. But as long as there's a market for these narcotics, there will be attempts to service that, and with all the violence attendant to that big narcotic warfare, if you like.
Just a minute here. Most striking to me of what you recounted is that China and Russia and the other bad actors are not coming to Caracas's aid. Is that something fresh that they're backing off?
It's not that they're backing off. They don't have the capacity at this stage to waste time with Venezuela. China particularly has a huge investment in Venezuela's energy industry and would love to be able to bolster its relationship there and the security of the supply chain from the Venezuelan oil and gas fields back to the People's Republic of China. But it's running out of resources. It's preoccupied with internal conflict right now. It lacks the funds to spend on these sort of projects. And that's largely because of the corruption in the People's Republic of China, which has taken away, well, literally trillions of dollars from the main economy. The Belt and Road Initiative, of which Venezuela was supposedly a key part, has basically gone up in smoke. So literally, Venezuela has no one on which it can count for support.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.